The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. We have a jam-packed show for you today. Good to have you with us. A lot going on, and we're going to do our very best to get through all of the big stories. We are paying very close attention to what's happening down in Fulton County, Georgia, where Big Fannie Willis may be disqualified from her gig, which is investigating and prosecuting President Donald Trump. She is like, you know, honest to goodness, she, you know, watching her life story, it's like a Tyler Perry movie, but with Madea, except she's the villainess in the movie. But apparently she's a homewrecker, and she was shacking up with another person on her staff, giving him hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of work, and they were taking the big high-profile vacations together. So she may be disqualified from, as a matter of fact, her entire office. What an embarrassment to the good people there in Fulton County, Georgia. So we're paying very close attention to those developments, and of course, President Trump in court today as well. Can we talk about what happened yesterday in Kansas City? I find it very interesting that in the aftermath of the shooting, and by the way, it was a lot worse, and they waited until later in the evening to tell people how much worse it was. We understand at least 22 people were shot. Many others were injured, and they still haven't released those numbers. Many others were injured. Nine of the people who were shot are children. One person's dead, a sweet lady. She was very popular DJ on a community radio station there in the Kansas City area. A young woman, she was in her 40s, two grown kids. And we know a lot about the victims. But we don't know anything about the people who actually committed the crime. We understand from police that three individuals were taken into custody. At first glance, all of them look to be young scholars. But we, to date, at this moment, we have no idea who these people are. We know nothing about them. We know nothing about the motive. Now, I want to say something here, that there's a reason for this. Because if, in fact, the people that were taken into custody that we also saw photographs of on social media, if, in fact, that is the case, then the reason why we're not learning much about them is that this story doesn't fit the mainstream media's narrative. So, and this is the way it typically goes, and I really triggered a lot of people on Twitter this morning. I don't like to dilly or dally. We don't have time for that, right? So I just put it out there for folks, and people are going bonkers. I explained that the Kansas City shooters are either black, transgender, illegal, or Muslims. And that's why the media has not revealed their identities. Because if there's ever some sort of a terrorist attack or some sort of a shooting or some sort of an incident, and the attackers are black, transgender, illegal, or Muslim, well, they don't cover those stories. All of a sudden, poof, they just disappear. Look at what happened on Sunday, just a few days ago. Everybody stopped talking about that story. And why is it? Because there was a transgender person who staged a terrorist attack inside Joel Osteen's mega church in Houston, Texas. And the mainstream media says that doesn't happen. The mainstream media says the only people shooting people, the only people committing crimes in America are white people. So that's why you're not hearing anything about this. And I know it's troubling for those of you who are professional race agitators to hear this. But this is the reality of it all. By the way, people have been sending me these screenshots. Todd, you know that one of those guys is a illegal immigrant who is a terrorist, a Muslim terrorist from Somalia. No, that is incorrect. Those are fake. Those are fake photos. The person they're naming, this Sahil Omar, they use that name in all of the shootings. So careful, conservatives, don't jump into the fake news crowd. But that's what it's all about here. So anyway, people, you're just a racist. No, I'm a realist. It's not racism. I'm just telling you. But may I just say that the person that I'm really impressed with and the people that I'm really impressed with are the men of Kansas City and the neighboring communities, the men of the Kansas City Chiefs tribe who stood up and fought back. Now, I want to salute one of those individuals today, this gentleman from Nebraska, and he is one of the individuals seen on video who was taking down one of the shooters, one of the gunmen yesterday. What an amazing story. So a couple of things here. First of all, the reason why there were so many people shot, and again, we have no idea of a motive. It's all very bizarre. But the reason there were so many victims is there were a lot of people inside Union Station in Kansas City yesterday. And the reason why is that the players were in the building signing autographs. So that's why you had all these people in there after the parade. And that's why you saw these police officers. I mean, the gunfire's ringing out. You see civilians running away. And then you see the men and women in blue just running in. Running right into the face of danger. They had no idea what to expect. And if, in fact, there were three shooters, that just triples the level of threat that these officers were facing. But they didn't care. It was their job and their training. And they went right to the danger zone. Now, what I found interesting is outside, and we've got this video up on our website, toddstearns.com. And what I find fascinating is that there were civilians who noticed that there was someone with a gun. And so they immediately start chasing after, putting their own lives in danger, but they literally tackled the suspected shooter. And these are grown men who had no Kevlar. They had nothing. They were in T-shirts. They were in jeans. And they put their lives on the line. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what we call toxic masculinity. That's, I call it masculinity, but, you know, society calls that toxic masculinity. But you know what? We need more of that, and I believe there is more of that in America. Anyway, this gentleman, his name is Paul Contreras, and he is one of the gentlemen who helped subdue one of these attackers. And he sat down and did an interview, cut number three.
One guy was hollering, saying, you know, stop him, catch him, you know, tackle him, whatever. And he's just bailing, running. And out of nowhere, I heard that guy hollering. So I'm just like, okay, well, I'm right here. And I didn't think about it. It was just a reaction. I didn't hesitate. It was just do it. So I went to go tackle him, and another gentleman did the same thing. And as I'm tackling him, I see his weapon either fall out of his hand or out of his sleeve because he was wearing a long jacket. Or like a Carhartt. So when I seen that hit the ground, I'm like, oh, you know, we got to take this guy down. And so, like I said, I did, and another good Samaritan did, and we held him down. And it seemed like forever, but it probably wasn't. It was like 30 seconds holding him down, and me and the other gentleman are hollering at ongoers, you know, where's the cops? Get the cops over here. Get the cops over here. You know, we got them.
And they did. And what a great story, and what a good man. He was there with his three daughters. And he took immediate action when they found this gunman. So, again, we salute this man doing what a man should be doing. By the way, here's Congressman Mark Alford. He was weighing in on the shooting cut four.
Congressman, as I was preparing for our interview today, I realized that you were a Chiefs fan, and I was going to congratulate you on the Super Bowl win. I know that you may have considered going to the parade, but I do have some sad news to share with you. It appears that there were shots fired at the parade. CNN has just confirmed that shots were fired at the parade celebrating the Chiefs win in Kansas City. We're taking a live look at what the scene looks like right now. It appears that folks are moving out of the way. Congressman, do you know anything about this shooting? Is there any information that you've come across that you can share with us?
No, Boris, that's the first I heard of it. If you're looking at the stadium there, that is Union Station in downtown Kansas City, a very historic place. We gathered there in 2015 for the victory celebration for the Kansas City Royals winning the World Series. I was there last year sitting on the third row as we celebrated the Chiefs' victory in Super Bowl 57. It is very sad to know that Stacey Graves, the chief of police there who is fairly new, is now having to respond, and it looks like in some active duty situation right now. It looks like they are going now below ground there. There are some tunnels and some basement areas under Union Station. I don't want to speculate on what's going on there, but this was a fear that I had, and I know that law enforcement, the FBI, they have spent over $1 million this year. Went from $750,000 last year on security up to $1 million now to try to secure this, I believe, a two-mile route that the players, other dignitaries. I was actually in the parade last year along with Congressman Emanuel Cleaver. Of course, we had nothing to do with the Super Bowl victory, but we were delighted to be there cheering on our Kansas City Chiefs. Sure. This is not good news for Kansas City. Hopefully there is no one who has died because of this shooting, but I know it's very disheartening. We should be able to come together in situations like this and celebrate victories, not have to deal with a shooting.
All right. And by the way, now they're saying 23 people were shot, and this doesn't even include all of the the injuries from the non-gunshot injuries. But now police are saying that it appears this was a fight between several people, including two juveniles, and that's what led to the gunfire. The police have not made any announcements about official charges. And the way it works in Missouri, you've got 24 hours to either prosecute or they got to be set free. So hopefully they're going to do what needs to be done. But honestly, whoever's responsible, they ought to get the death penalty. I mean, that's the way it ought to work. Time to start cracking down on the thugs. That's what I say. Time to start cracking down on the thugs. All right, a lot going on. We're going to be checking in later in the show with our good buddy Pete Mundo. He is a host over at KCMO in Kansas City. That's later on today. Also, Tim Burchett's going to be here. Congresswoman Victoria Spartz, very concerned. She says that she is seeing similarities in what's happening in America to what happened in the old Soviet Union, and we're going to find out what that's all about. Also, Liz Peek is going to be here, Sandy Rios, plus your calls, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. That's legacypminvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. Welcome back, everybody. Honor to have you with us. Today, this is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. By the way, thank you. So many of you have already pre-ordered your copy of my brand new book coming out. It'll be in bookstores March 19th, but so many of you have already pre-ordered, and I just can't thank you enough for that. You can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, wherever you get your books, and you can pre-order a copy right now. Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? All right, let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Cindy is hanging out with us on our Facebook live stream today. Hi, Cindy, what's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to weigh in on the heroes who don't wear capes, like you were talking about those men that tickled, but also the Daniel Penny thing on the subway, and I'm not sure where that went in New York City. He did, tackle this guy and tried to save a whole bunch of passengers from getting stabbed, and he got arrested, so he's in jail. No wonder people just walk right by, and they only want to get involved. And it's sad. It's got to come. It's got to boomerang back. And thank you to those heroes who don't wear capes, like the firemen and the policemen that ran in there into danger. You know, I just want to give a shout out to them.
Cindy, good for you. Yeah, and by the way, the very latest on Daniel Penny, and he's the young guy. He's a white guy, so we knew almost immediately who he was, right? Because the media came right out and started attacking him. He's the Marine veteran, and he put this guy in a chokehold, and the guy died. The guy was a bad dude, and now Mr. Penny is facing charges. And last month, the judge there in New York refused to dismiss the case. So Daniel Penny could be going to jail for doing the right thing.
That's sad. Something's got to turn around. And that's all I got to say. Something's got to turn around here in this country.
It does. Cindy, you're right.
Thanks for taking my call, Todd.
All right. Thank you, Cindy. And thank you for a great call. What a good way to start off the day. Cindy in New York. And again, our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This just coming in from Washington, President Biden is now proposing student loan debt relief for borrowers who are highly likely to default. So the question remains, should the American people be forced to step in and cover the cost for deadbeat college kids who are not paying back their student loans? And my whole point goes back to this very central and important truth. If you are stupid enough to take out a loan knowing you cannot repay that loan, then you get what you deserve. Why should we be forced to cover your debt? I would love for somebody to phone in and explain why we should be forced as taxpayers to fork over our hard-earned money because some moron went out there and got a bachelor's degree in lesbian pottery. Could someone explain that to me? And by the way, what about all these kids out there? There are a lot of kids who didn't go to college, right? They went out there, maybe went to a trade school. They went to a community college. They paid their way through school. They didn't ask for a handout. They didn't ask for anybody to step in and to pay the cost of their education. And now they're going to have to turn around and they're going to have to pay for those people who got those degrees in lesbian literature and pottery. Do you really think that's fair? And I get it. I feel bad for these kids who are facing this debt, but it's their own fault. And by the way, you know who else is to blame? The Department of Education. What are they doing going out there and giving loans to young people who or their parents who do not have the resources to pay those loans back? Why is that? That's outrageous is what it is, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely nuts. But here we go. Biden, and this is a smart political move for him because he knows his numbers among young voters are in the toilet and they're swirling. It's as if they have been double flushed out of the campaign. And so Biden is thinking, hey, you know what? If we clear the table, if we clear their debt away, if we make the Republicans pay for that debt, then the Democrat kids are going to jump back and support us. Our telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for your continued support. And to thank you, they have an overstock clearance sale right now for the best prices ever when you use the promo code STARNS. And you get free shipping on your entire order. Get 50% off the MyPillow 2.0 and the brand new flannel sheets that just arrived. Won't last long, folks. Get a six-pack towel set for only $29.98 and take advantage of the free shipping on larger items like mattresses and mattress toppers, 100% made in the USA, on sale for as low as $99.99. Everything is on sale, from the brand new kitchen towels that have the same technology as the bath towels. They absorb dog beds, blankets, couch pillows, so much more. To get the best offers ever, go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 and get free shipping on your entire order while supplies last. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. A lot of folks fired up over the breaking news, President Biden wanting to forgive student loan debt for high or at-risk people. And we're not going to get into what that's all about. But I'm telling you right now, folks, it's not fair and it's not right. You know, a lot of people got jobs. They took out the loans they could afford to repay, and they were smart about it. But a lot of kids, they think that, you know, there are no consequences in life. And that's on mom and dad. Hey, let's go to the phone lines here. Let's start our day in Gainesville, Georgia. WDUN is our great affiliate there. Anna is on the line. Hi, Anna. What say you?
Hey, Todd. I don't know if anybody's ever figured out that you have problems with financial problems. There is such a thing of filing bankruptcy. That's one way. But you know what really drives it home for me is the Democrats really believe their basis is they believe the government is the answer to everything, and the Republicans believe, short side, is the individual. And I think that this Biden administration is trying to take up with the younger set, where mostly go to college, you know, to have them required to pay the government, because the government's not going to do this for you for nothing. You're going to pay one way or the other. So that's the way I think about it.
Yeah, look, it's a good thought, and we can. There are plenty of conversations that can be had about things. For example, why is going to college so expensive? Well, the answer is you are paying a massive amount of money for these professors, administration. You know, a bulk of the payroll goes to these administrators. It's just insane, the salary levels of a lot of these colleges and universities. And it's okay to have those conversations. Why do we have to have so many majors? Do we really need a major in lesbian pottery? I don't think so. Anna, I may be wrong, but I think we need to get back to the basics in this country.
Yes, that's absolutely. And to be aware of why somebody's doing something like this. Why is Biden doing this? And he's trying to make the future more socialistic, and this is one way to do it.
It's all about communism, Anna. This is all about communism, and I'm excited to talk to Congresswoman Spartz just a little while, because she has grave concerns about where this country is going, and she ought to know, because she came out of that life, and she is now an American citizen. So, all right, Anna, appreciate the call. Let's go to Ken in Richmond, Virginia. WRVA is our great affiliate there. Hi, Ken. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Nice to speak to you again. I don't understand this. I do understand why Biden is offering to pay for loans. He's trying to buy more votes. And I just don't get it. I thought we somewhere along the line determined that the president didn't constitutionally does not have the ability to forgive debt. And on the other hand, the House has the purse strings. So what am I missing, Todd?
Well, you know, it's a free for all right now, Ken, in Washington, D.C. And the Republicans, for whatever reason, and I was watching Eric Bolling last night on Newsmax, and Eric said that the Republicans just don't know how to govern. And I think there's a pretty good argument for that based on what's happening right now. So, yeah, the Congress ought to push back, but they're not going to push back.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, when you said that, it reminded me of the vote for impeaching Mayorkas. You know, even then, by one vote margin, they did it, though it's symbolic. But still, three Republicans still voted with the Democrats.
Well,
it drives me crazy.
It should. And it should drive all of us crazy that the Republicans are doing this. And McClintock is saying, well, you know, I'm doing this by the book. No, you're not, actually. We are dealing with a cabinet level position that is putting every single American citizen at risk. And yeah, I just don't get it. And it does infuriate a lot of folks, Ken. So I understand that. Appreciate the call and thank you for listening. And that is the big challenge and the question: does the executive branch have the authority to forgive the debt that students owe? It is not an easy answer. There are certain ways that the administration can forgive debt, but a lot of these are going to be open for court battles. But the short answer is yes, but there are caveats. All right, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Jack in Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN. Hi, Jack. What say you?
Hey, Todd. How you doing? Matthew, some years ago down at the smokehouse there in Oakwood.
Smokehouse barbecue.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But what I'm going to do is on the loan forgiveness, that I don't know if anybody's ever thought about this, but let them serve 4 years in the service. I mean, I paid for my technical school, you know, for the 4 years that I went to tech school. If they want loan forgiveness, let's go with 4 years in the service. Let's see what happens there.
Oh, I like that. And I think, I think that's a terrific idea. Serve in the military, but I would make them serve first and then get your education. That's what I would do.
They've got to serve first before it's done. Sure.
Yeah. I love that. Jack, I love that idea. And by that time, you're old enough to understand, you know, that college is about getting an education, getting a degree, and not getting drunk and hanging out at the frat house.
Exactly.
I like that idea, Jack. All right, good stuff. Appreciate you calling in, and hope to see you at our next big book signing. We're going to be coming to Gainesville, Georgia, and I can't release the details yet, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I'll tell you that much. And the folks over at WDUN, they throw one heck of a book signing. So actually, all of our great affiliates do. We have a lot of fun. All right, let's go to Robert in Jackson, Tennessee, WTJS, our terrific affiliate in those parts. What's on your mind, Robert?
Well, since you just mentioned you're going to be in Georgia, you were discussing Miss Fannie this morning, just shortly ago.
Big Fannie Willis, yes.
Yes, the Big Fannie probably seduced and forced herself upon her employee. And he's in hot water himself. If I were him, I would cry sexual harassment, file an EEOC complaint, because he's going to need a big payout of money in a lawsuit from the county. We had that happen in Madison County years ago with a sheriff. He had about three girlfriends that were his employees. And when you're the boss, you cannot mess with your staff. That's
is going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Now, the testimony is underway, and a Washington Post is now reporting that the relationship between Big Fannie and Nathan Wade is the boy toy. They're claiming that it started years earlier than was originally claimed. So we'll see how all of this plays out. She's in hot water. He could be even in more hot water. And you're right, Robert. This could be an opportunity for him to save his own hide by throwing her under the bus.
If I were him, and I know very little about either one of them except what we see in the media, I would throw her under the bus so fast because he's about to have ethics investigation and maybe lose his law license if what I've heard in the media is good. I can see that coming because it's kind of hard to bill for an hour, like 24 hours continuous to do billing.
And, you know, yes,
that's
it
surface, is. You know, I guess he dreams a lot in his sleep, I guess.
Something's going on.
I smell a rat.
I think you've got a pretty good sense of smell, Robert. Thank you for that call. And, wow, how about that visual? Big Fanny and her boy toy lover. Wow. By the way, that other court ruling Trump was involved in today, there was a hearing in New York. And it looks like the judge ruled that hush money trial is going to go ahead, and jury selection will start in March. Nikki Haley taking full advantage of this and saying that, hey, look, this is one of the reasons why the George Santos congressional district went to the Democrats. Well, we know that not to be true, and Nikki Haley ought to be ashamed of herself because the person who was running as the Republican nominee happened to be a registered Democrat who was anti-Trump and pro-abortion. So maybe, just maybe, New York Republicans should not have picked a registered Democrat who was pro-abortion and anti-Trump to run in that congressional district. All right, got to take a break here, folks. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us today. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have the great Congresswoman Victoria Spartz from Indiana, the big 5th congressional district out there. Congresswoman, always great to have you on the program. Hope you're doing good today.
Well, thank you. Have a vibrant debate in Judiciary Committee.
Yeah, yes, and we're going to get to that in just a second. I was watching your interview with Glenn Beck yesterday, and I was really intrigued by the comparison you made with the FBI matching all of this data, tracking people in America who bought a Bible and a gun. And you say that reminded you a lot of how things used to be in the old Soviet Union.
Well, it's exactly. I mean, listen, let's look at the history. What did Stalin do to force people under tyranny and oppression and communists? They understand very well what makes you strong as an individual. Religion makes you strong. You know, guns makes you give you ability to protect yourself, and also your own property. You know, your own property, you're not dependent on the government. So first what Stalin did to oppress, he took guns from people. Then he took religion from the people. And then he started forcing, you know, people in collective farms and take their property. That's how you get people into submission. Well, we're doing exactly the same now using the modern techniques. That's why these amendments, first and second, you know, they're significant because our founding fathers understood how do you oppress people. So now they're using the same technique, using federal agency to take your private property rights away, try to force everyone into government-controlled entities. They want you to live in the city. They don't want you to live on the farm, right? Because you have much more control when you live in the city. If you don't get sewer or water, you know, you're more dependent on the government. The same they're doing, you know, infringing, and, you know, there is an assault on Second Amendment rights. And you see what's happening now with the freedom of speech and freedom of religion. It's becoming tyranny. And using the government, the police state of DOJ and FBI to do it. I cannot believe that it's happening in America.
Coming after the Catholics, trying to infiltrate their parishes, coming after the pro-life people and the Second Amendment owners. Meanwhile, you've got all these radicals out there, the transgender people that are shooting up churches. They've been on the FBI radar, but it seems like the FBI is more focused on going after people of faith in this country.
Well, listen, it's definitely, you know, a two-tiered system of justice. It's really failed. You know, we have a double standard. It's really, I mean, the only difference, there is nothing, you know, we'll never have equal opportunities in life. We do not want equal outcomes. We're a free individual. Our country about equality of rights. And if your rights are not protected, our republic is gone. You know, it doesn't matter, you're poor, rich, whatever, your rights should be protected. That's how it was country created. But now we have a justice system. If your father is very influential, like president, or you're very connected to government, you can get away with very shady things, and no one even presses charges on you. But if you are someone who, you know, ever said anything about government or just happened to show up on January 6th here, we can raid your houses and bring, like, squads of FBI to intimidate people. I mean, this is unbelievable what's happening. And right now they're coming after churches, coming people with pro-life beliefs, and they're becoming very more and more aggressive. And if you don't have the money to protect yourself, you can be in jail for nothing. And this is very dangerous.
Is it fair to say that our public schools are turning and churning out kids and grooming them to be communist? Because that's, you know, that's what I'm seeing in the culture right now, young communist.
Well, let me tell you, when I was a state senator, because our education failed so much, and if states not step up, we're really in trouble. Because if we don't teach our future generations what our republic is about, most of them don't even understand why we are the republic, we're really going to fail. And, you know, I was surprised when I had, like, we actually had this bipartisan group of legislators, and here I had some students from Indiana University come in to talk to us. And I was surprised that a lot of the students said they're Marxists. And I'm listening to them, and I said, do you even understand what Marxism is? Do you understand how many people died from that ideology that's so destructive? Do you know how many people are still dying to try to get back? The situation in Ukraine is unfortunately a great example how hard to get freedoms back after you lose them. And, you know, and you don't even understand. I said, do you even understand what it is? But the interesting thing, when I was teaching a little bit at college, you know, I would talk to my students, and I will read Karl Marx, I will read Friedman and Hayek. Unfortunately, we don't educate kids. And a lot of them, when I read Karl Marx, they were like, well, that sounds utopian, you know, because it is. I mean, that is something to brainwash people, sell them, you know, bad ideas, but using people as a puppet to oppress and create tyranny. And it's been effectively used so much that, unfortunately, I see so what's happening here. It's really almost like when like Hayek said, actually by Karl Marx, whoever control means of production, that's what really socialism, right? Government control means of production. Maybe not in the form, but in essence, now government taking over so much of the businesses and finances and deciding who is going to get, you know, loans and who is not going to do it. This is actually complete takeover of financial system and digital currency. That is a really danger where government now controlling so much business. And that's what really socialism and communism is.
I have 60 seconds left, and I need to ask you about the status of FISA 702. Where are we at on that?
Well, I'm so glad that we have some people fighting, you know, this is the Fourth Amendment rights of Americans. And if Congress is not willing to defend the rights, that we're not worth being here. So I hope, you know, we were able to stall bad legislation, move it to the floor and force people to vote on the record. Do they believe the government should survey, you know, Americans without a warrant? And they got afraid yesterday. So that bill was taken off the floor. And now we know they canceled for right now, actually, Congress, and we're going back home. So I hope people are aware and vigilant and pay attention, put pressure on their legislators, you know, not to fall to big police state that using it to oppress Americans.
Well said. Well, Congresswoman, we appreciate the great work, and we appreciate your boldness in telling people what's happening in this country. And we'd love to get you back on sometime soon.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. It's my pleasure and honor to be on your show.
All right. Congresswoman Victoria Spartz, ladies and gentlemen, from the 5th Congressional District there in Indiana, born in Ukraine, by the way. And so she knows. She's seen it. She's lived it. And those are the kinds of people we need to be listening to. The idea that FISA 702 would give our government the right to spy on American citizens without our knowledge, it is unacceptable and it is un-American. All right, hang tight, folks. Hour two of the big show coming up. Tim Burchett's going to be here. Pete Mundo from our good friends at KCMO Radio in Kansas City. Also, your calls, 901-260-5926. And in the break, head over and pre-order a copy of my new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Yes, that's me. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Hope you're doing well today. And, wow, do we have a lot happening this hour of the program. We're going to be checking in with our good buddy Pete Mundo out of Kansas City, host over at KCMO Talk Radio, a little bit later on to get the latest there. Also, Liz Peek from Fox News is going to be here. Right now, though, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us from the eastern part of the Volunteer State, Tim Burchett, the congressman representing District 2. Congressman, hope you're doing good today.
I'm great, brother. How are you?
Well, I'm good now that I know that we're not going to be, you know, invaded by aliens. Or that was a little crazy yesterday with all the news coming out about the national security threat.
Yeah, I had $5 on dolphins with laser beams, but I missed it, I guess.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, how bad is it when you realize, oh, it's just the Russians putting nukes up there? You're kind of relieved.
Well, we knew. I mean, who thinks they're not? You know, they said, oh, they have a delivery. I didn't go to the hearing, so I can talk about it. Or the meeting is supposed to be in the skiff, you know, and that's part of the trap they put you in. You got to hear this stuff. And you go in there, and then you, when you're in a classified briefing, you're not allowed to talk about it. So I can talk about it because I didn't go to it, but I could pretty much figure it out. You know, it has all the components that we're trying to fund right now. A war against Russia, and taking away your rights by being able to spy on Americans. So those are two bills that are coming up shortly, and the Uniparty is pushing them. It's not Democrats or Republicans. It's just the Uniparty. And people want to call this town a swamp. A swamp was an ecosystem that's been created by God. This is a sewer. It is created by man. It's just everything flows in and nothing flows out.
And the stench, you can smell it here back home in Tennessee, Congressman. It's really frustrating, I think, for a lot of people. For me, the biggest takeaway from yesterday, can't anybody keep an actual freaking secret up there? I mean, why are we talking about national security threats and all that information is leaking out of what is supposed to be a top secret meeting?
Yeah. Well, that's why they probably, part of the reason some of them do it is they know they can get it out. And he was trying to get it out and he demanded, this whole thing's just bogus. The whole deal, the funding, the everything else about it is bogus. So,
what's your takeaway though? Do you really think this is all being, you know, concocted, to put us in a shooting war with the Russians?
I think it's being concocted so we'll spend more money and take away more Americans' rights. And the ruling class loves that because they, you know, we get in these wars and what happens? You see people making a ton of money off of them. We sent our missile defense system to Ukraine and then we had to replenish ours. And guess who owns stock? And people from both parties, they bought it a week prior to the presidential order to send the missile defense system over there. So the whole thing stinks. This town stinks, and the American public, this is what happens when 20 million conservatives decide to stay home and watch The View on election day. We lose our country, and that's what we're doing right now. It's being taken from you right in front of you, and we don't have the guts to.
No, I hear you, and it's frustrating. I get it, and we talk a lot about this on this program, that if people would just get up and engage their constitutionally protected rights, then we would be winning in landslide elections. But people don't want to get out. They're lazy. Is that it?
Yeah, and, you know, you have one side saying, well, they're going to steal it anyway. Well, put enough points on the board where they can't steal it. And you know, it's, we saw during COVID what they were, you know, people started looking over their kids' shoulders on their computers while they were, what they were learning and what they weren't learning in school. And parents got alarmed. And then what happened? They go to a school board meeting and complain about it. And the FBI, our FBI, labels them domestic terrorists. You know, so I think we need to wake up. We need to clean this. The money changers need to be thrown out of the temple.
I know that a lot of people were caught off guard yesterday. Your friend, Congressman Mark Green, and he's my friend as well, announcing that he's retiring from Congress. Were you surprised by that news?
I'm not surprised by anything up here. Mark and I came to Congress together. We've known each other for years. And I trust that he's got some good ideas about what he wants to do in the future. You know, it's been rumored that he might run for governor, and you know, it's tough to run for governor when you're stuck in Washington 7 months out of the year. So I think it's if that's what he wants to do, then I support him in all his endeavors and what he wants to do.
Yeah, he's one of the good guys up on Capitol Hill, and I know he had been rumored to maybe be in line for a position in a Trump administration. Of course, he's a medical doctor and a military veteran, but he was telling radio station KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee, that and this was fascinating, that he said, I just thought it would be wrong to run for re-election and then immediately ask for that job, get it, and turn around and quit it to go to another job. And that would line up with the next gubernatorial race in Tennessee.
Yeah, it sure would. And, you know, he spent time like I did in the legislature, and he understands the workings of the state. So, but, I'm disappointed, but I'm not surprised, I guess I should say. Mm.
All right, Congressman Tim Burchett on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman, we had Victoria Spertz on just a few moments ago. She is fired up over this FISA 702 reauthorization, says it's just absolutely unacceptable for the government to be spying on American citizens.
I agree. Let me tell you how easy it is for them to do it, Todd. So they want to spy on you, and maybe you have somebody mowing your yard or working on your roof or working in your house that maybe they aren't an American citizen and they're here illegally. And what do? They bug their phone through the FISA and because they know they're going to be talking to you. And then they backdoor, they capture you in that, and then that grants them access to you. And you just go down the food chain. I mean, they did it over 100,000 times, I think, we've known. I think it's 200 and something thousand times that they've done that, and so it's a illegally in my opinion. So it's a real thing, and this is part of this. I think that's really the drive on this double secret meeting with the Russians yesterday, because they were obviously capture that information from somebody, and so that's the way they do it. And, you know, there's so many, I mean, let's be honest, in the hospitality industry, the housing construction industry, and in factories all across this country, who are there? They're primarily Hispanic folks, and they're not American citizens. So I think this thing is something America better wake up over. It's not real sexy. It's a little difficult to figure it out, but that's a pretty simple, easy simplification of it.
Absolutely. Congressman, we got to leave it there. We are super late for a break. Appreciate the great work you're doing up there, and keep holding the line.
Thanks, Todd. I will. Keep telling the truth, brother. People love it, and I hear people talk about hearing me on your show all the time, so thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. All right. Congressman Tim Burchett, everybody, out there in East Tennessee, District 2, great American patriot. And I'm hearing from more and more lawmakers about how frustrating it is to deal with the deep state and with, as he called it, not a swamp, but a sewer. And it's true. And that's one of the reasons why Congressman Mark Green a good and decent man is calling it a day and coming back home to Tennessee. Folks, that's on us. That is strictly on us. And the congressman's right. When 20 million conservatives say they would rather stay home and watch The View, that is not only repulsive and stomach-churning, but it is just simply unacceptable. And we're going to continue to lose elections if we have that mindset. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Our team, by the way, monitoring what could be a breaking news situation out of our nation's capital. There are reports of smoke, fire, and possibly an explosion coming out of a metro train station. This is over in the Eastern Market. This would be the Eastern Market train station. There is video footage that was filmed inside the subway stop, and certainly a lot of smoke coming out of there. So we're not quite sure. Hearing multiple reports of it may have been a derailment. So we're working on that, and we'll bring you the latest information there once that becomes available. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Diane in Maine, WLOB is our great affiliate there. Hi, Diane. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. This is a liberty-loving American lady from the communist-run state of Maine, and we are getting worse every week in this state. And I'm so glad I heard from your last two callers about communism. And I'm also glad that a lot of my fellow Mainers, Todd, called your show this week. And I'll tell you, Todd, we're not all Democrats up here. And I wanted to call you yesterday to wish you the best day ever in your life, but my phone wasn't working correctly.
Oh,
I
no.
I wanted to tell you that I know, but it's working fine now, and I'm calling everybody. I wanted to tell you, you are the best radio announcer on air, and you have the greatest staff of anybody I've ever spoken with.
Well, you are so kind to say that. Don't tell the staff that. They'll get the big heads, you know, so we got to keep them, you know, we got to keep them humble. Well,
I will, definitely. But I wanted to run something about this man that's in our White House occupying the seat. The first line in the Constitution that he is not abiding by, Todd, is there is no justice in this country, there is no tranquility in this country, and there is no defense in this country, which means in the Sam Houston's quote, and I quote his words, he is a treasonous for undermining this great republic of the United States of America. That's how I feel.
Well, Diane, very well said. And yeah, I look, Joe Biden is not living up to his oath in office. And I'm not even sure he knows what that oath is, Diane. You know, last night, he and the First Lady, Dr. and Mrs. First Lady Jill Biden, were at a Valentine's Day event. And Biden can be overheard saying, "Hey, honey, want to get a photo?" She goes, "We just did, Joe. We just did. Come along now. Come along."
Unbelievable.
It's sad.
And something really light, I would just want to run by this with you, Todd. Do not ever get this call again from Ben from Florida, because he's an idiot who can't pronounce Fred Grandy's last name. He pronounced it in a Spanish way, but I love him dearly. He is a great Trump supporter, and he was a Mena that transplanted to the free state of Florida.
Is that
right? Taylor, I know you're listening, and I love you dearly.
All right. Well, Diane, very well said. And yeah, Fred Grandy, good American patriot. Diane, God bless you, and glad your phone got to working again. That's good news. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Dante in Georgia. Hi, Dante. What's on your mind today?
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
How's it going?
I'm going good, man. I wanted to talk about the student loan repayment that you were talking about earlier.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm a middle-aged 40-year-old guy living in Georgia. And when I was 18 and 19 graduating high school, there was a promise out there. If you go to college and you finish your four-year, five-year degree, you get a good job. Well, unfortunately, in today's society, things just cost too much. You know, we went to school, we got degrees. I have two degrees. I have a bachelor's and a master's degree. And I'm a borrower just like a lot of other Americans. And a lot of other countries offer college as a free thing, right? United States, you have to pay for the education. A lot of parents then, they're not thinking that they may or may not have the money to repay those loans back. And so I don't think it's more of a Democratic or a Republican thing. I think it's an American thing where if college isn't free, then yes, I think we should get some aid in helping paying those things back. A lot of those kids go to college, they get those degrees, and they want to work and get a good job. But unfortunately, the job market just doesn't pay what we are deserving from our education.
So what are you deserving? What do you deserve, Dante? What's your degree in?
I have a political science is my undergraduate degree, and I have a master's degree in criminal justice.
Okay, and so what kind of a job do you currently have?
Right now, I am an account manager selling business sales.
Okay.
For a telecom company.
Okay. Are you doing what you wanted to do with your degree?
At some point I was, but, you know, unfortunately, like I said, the job market just doesn't pay. You have to kind of go into a field that you can get some extra money from.
So first of all, so what do you mean by free education? Somebody's got to clearly pay for it, right? The professors and all of those people, the staff, you know, they have to get paid at the college. So what did you mean by free education?
So what I said, in other countries, college education is free. We're one of the only countries in the world that charge kids to go to college. You said earlier, you know, that 18-year-olds shouldn't be making that decision to get a loan. Well, if college is, for example, $50,000 a year, that's not something that their parents can probably start their pocket every year and pay to go to school. So and those programs were designed to get loans and grants to go to college. But when they finish school, they're expecting to get a job that hopefully can allow them to pay those debts back.
Right, but what I'm saying though, Dante, is that for that to happen, it just can't be free. So people just aren't going to volunteer to be professors. Somebody has to pay for that. So who would you recommend, if you're going to go to college for free, who should pay for your college education?
I think that the government, the money that we spend on things.
Who is the government? Who is the government?
The United States government.
Well, all right, but who is that? But who funds the United States government? They don't make the money. Who is it that makes the money that funds the government?
The citizens.
Right. So you're saying that. So Dante, you're saying that the American people should fund your education.
If you're not going to fund it, like you said earlier, should he forgive student loan debt? You know, maybe not 100% of it, but you know, if I'm going to school. And I went to school, I did what I was asked to do by finishing and getting those degrees.
All right, well, let me ask you a question. What do you say to that person who is your age, who didn't go to college, they don't have any debt, they paid their way through trade school or whatever, why should their tax money have to pay for your free education?
Because I may be doing a job that they depend on to live on a day-to-day basis.
They may be doing the same kind of a job, though. They may be doing the same kind of a job, Dante.
They may. And, I mean, my tax money just doesn't go to education. It goes to a lot of things. It helps fund prisons and other things that I didn't go to prison or...
Well, no. Well, look, Dante, we're late for a break here, so that's what that music is. Let me just say this. We will open up this to the listeners. Folks, Dante says that we should do like other countries, and we should offer taxpayer-funded college for everybody. What say you? 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. 160 affiliates and growing. Thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, and we're excited about this. We're the only, I think, non-corporate talk radio program in America in this time slot. So we appreciate you, great, great listeners, and we thank you for helping us. This is a grassroots effort here on this program. By the way, folks, Newsmax now conducting a national poll. They are asking Americans, who do you think Trump ought to pick as his VP? There are a lot of names being tossed around, and Newsmax wants to know who you want. By the way, you can vote right now in the Newsmax poll. All you have to do is text the word SKIP to 39747. That's skip to 39747, and they will send you a link to the poll. Again, that is skip 39747. All right, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us the host of Mundo in the Morning, KCMO Talk Radio. Host Pete Mundo joins us. Pete, good to have you with us today.
Great to be here, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Well, look, you did a terrific job on the Newsmax TV show yesterday, so we got to get Pete on the radio, and I'm glad you could carve out some time. Can you fill us in on the very latest, or what are we looking at as far as the injury count, and what can you tell us about these suspects?
Yeah, what we know right now, Todd, there was an update through a press conference with the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department about 90 minutes ago, and we have 22 victims ranging ages 8 to 47 years old. One victim that did pass away, Lisa Lopez Galvin, a 43-year-old mother of two. Half of the victims are under the age of 16, as young as the age of 5, Todd, which is just horrible. No connection to terrorism or homegrown violent extremism, thank goodness for that. And it appears to be what happens far too often in this town and in many cities in this country, and that is a dispute between people that ends up in gunfire. Now, the subjects have been detained. There's three people in custody, including two juveniles. So we're monitoring that. They have not said anything right now about the third suspect, which I find interesting. And hopefully we'll learn more about this afternoon, because we're approaching that timeline where if charges are going to be filed in that first 24 hours, we're within a couple hours of that deadline, Todd.
It's really strange, Pete, because in a lot of these other cases, when the suspect fits the narrative of the media, those names and IDs are made pretty much immediately. But here we are coming up in almost 24 hours later, to your point, and we really still don't know that much about these guys.
We don't. And I had the mayor of Kansas City. He comes on my show here on KCMO every Thursday, and I pressed him a bit on that. I said, do we know who they are? When are we going to get the information on who they are? And he didn't think we'd get anything today, which is just beyond disturbing, because how you're not filing charges today in the first 24 hours with all the cell phone video that has already emerged, and I'm sure the police have plenty more that we're not seeing publicly, is an indictment of, unfortunately, what the city has been dealing with for far too long.
So there's a lot of other video out there showing some of the civilians stopping one of the believed to be suspects. What do we know about these people?
They're heroes. Yeah. And there are folks from Wichita. You know, a lot of these people, it's amazing, Todd. We think that it's all Kansas City that goes to these parades. There were folks from Florida, from California, from Connecticut, all over the country, whether it's transplants or otherwise, who came here to celebrate with a million of their closest friends. But one hero in particular stood out to me. His name is Paul Contreras. He's from Omaha, Nebraska, came down about a 3-hour one-way trip here to Kansas City, and he tackled one of the shooters yesterday, putting his life on the line. And just, you know, he's talked to many media outlets over the last 12 to 18 hours or so, and just said it was just instinct. And we took a lot of calls on this morning. And as one of our callers put it beautifully, we all have that Paul Contreras in us. The question is, how are you going to react when you're in that moment? A lot of people, I mean, we know pulling out the cell phone can be helpful, but without the guys like Paul Contreras, who knows how much worse yesterday could have been in this town.
I mean, those were the two images for me, Pete, all of the police officers running into Union Station, and then those civilians without any Kevlar, no protection, literally running towards the danger zone as well. That says a lot about those people. And, you know, again, they throw around a word, a phrase, toxic masculinity. That's what that looks like. And there's nothing toxic about it. These are just men stepping up and protecting people. And you got to love that.
Mm-hmm. Protecting their community, protecting their fellow Chiefs fans, and protecting people that, let's be honest, they don't know, they never met, and they will never see again in their lives. And if that's toxic masculinity, Todd, I'll take plenty more of that here in Kansas City and around the country.
I'm hearing you. And I have to imagine the guy's got a Venmo. There's no way he's going to have to pay for a drink anywhere in Kansas City, these guys.
Well, I'll tell you what, there are people trying to petition them for lifetime season tickets to the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, something. Wow. for guys like Paul, and he's gotten the most notoriety, but I know there's a handful of others who came to this town, who either were here or came to this town, and there's no way to put a number on it, but I think we can safely say protected and potentially saved dozens of people in a crowd that was approaching a million.
Pete Mundo, host of Mundo in the Morning on KCMO. And Pete, this is, of course, a big story for talk radio. I know the station I own here in Memphis, KWAM, we were actually simulcasting the live reports in our afternoon drive. What are the people saying there, your listeners? What's the takeaway from what happened yesterday?
Well, it's really, Todd, it was the best part of Kansas City on display yesterday combined with the worst part of Kansas City on display yesterday. And that is the Chiefs have obviously stolen the hearts of this town, and they've had the hearts for a long time. But they have been, people think of Kansas City, they probably think of the barbecue, and they think of the Chiefs. And the Chiefs have probably supplanted the barbecue based on all the Super Bowls we've had the opportunity to win the last 3 years, and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and everything else. But the underbelly in this town, the thing that people don't think about with Kansas City, is the crime. And it has been out of control in Kansas City for now the last several years. You know, we set a record in 2020 with homicides, as many major American cities did. But it never got the attention because St. Louis was even worse. And obviously Chicago is a bigger town and they were a mess. Well, as many major American cities saw a decrease, St. Louis is down in homicides about 30% from 2020. Kansas City broke its record from 2020 in 2023. Most major American cities saw a decrease. Kansas City did not. And I think because it's a mid-sized city, doesn't get the attention maybe, it hasn't been a focus. But the world saw what Kansas City was talking about and has been talking about for the last 3 years, and that's the greatness and the unification of the Chiefs with this underbelly of violent crime that has not been slowed down and is showing no signs of slowing down.
Well, you're right. And, of course, I'm based here in Memphis, Tennessee. We're one of the deadliest cities in America, so we get it. And that level of crime, it's off the charts, Pete. It really is. Real quick, no players were injured. They were there, and I know that was it Patrick Mahomes' brother actually helped a child or something yesterday in all that chaos.
Yeah, I did see there is a story circulating that in the midst of all the chaos, the child, as many children did, kind of got lost from their parents, missed the stampede, the movement, the chaos, and Jackson Mahomes did stay back with a young child and according to reports, hung with that kid until he reconnected with his parents. And there's a lot of stories like that from Chiefs players yesterday. You know, one offensive lineman, Trey Smith, had a big WWE belt, and he gave it to a kid and sat with a kid until that kid found his parents. And, you know, I think that there is a very unique relationship, Todd. I've had the chance to work in Oklahoma and Texas and then in New York for a little bit before coming out here 6 years ago. And I've never seen a connection between a team and a fan base like what we do have here with the Chiefs. It's special. It's unique. And it's something I've never experienced. And you did see a lot of that greatness on display yesterday from players, from their families, from obviously law enforcement, as you noted, and just good Samaritans.
Well, that's terrific. And Pete, I appreciate you spending a few minutes with us and the great work you guys are doing at KCMO, a lifeline to the city yesterday during that that tragic breaking news. So really appreciate the great work you're doing, Pete.
Anytime, Todd. Keep it up, and we're fans of you here in Kansas City. Thanks so much.
All right. Pete Mundo, everybody, host of Mundo in the Morning, KCMO, great talk radio station, 103.7 FM, 710 AM. And that's the way it is with talk radio, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen, with radio in general? When something crazy happens, where do you go to? You turn on your radio, and you're going to get breaking news coverage. You're going to get news and information to keep your family safe. And that's one of the reasons why I love doing radio. I mean, yeah, I do TV, but my first love and passion is radio, because this is what we do, and we do it every day. And it's so great to have folks like Pete on the program, and we salute all of our great radio partners and affiliates across the nation. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, your calls, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, juggling a couple of breaking news stories, actually three. So we have the situation in Georgia where Fannie Willis and her boy toy are in the middle of a hearing, and it's not going well right now. It's we'll get to more of that in the next hour. Also, this coming in from Montana, where Malmstrom Air Force Base is on lockdown. There is a reported active shooter on the base. So that's all we have. The base has been locked down. Our good friend, Congressman Matt Rosendale, also tweeting information about this. My staff and I closely monitoring this, the active shooter development at the Air Force Base, praying for the safety of those on base. That's all the information we have right now. Also, we've been following a situation at the Eastern Market in Washington, D.C., where there is a major emergency response underway. So, again, I'm going to read this. The information we've got to you, we just don't have a lot of information. There may be a possible train derailment there. Eyewitnesses are reported hearing several loud explosions accompanied by a bright flash. There is a large amount of smoke in the area. But, again, it's too soon at this point to say if this is some sort of a terrorist event or if this was just some sort of an accident. So we are, our team, keeping you apprised of all of those breaking news items, and we'll keep you updated. Be sure to listen to your local news radio station. I'm sure they'll have updates at the top of the hour. Let's go to Salem, Oregon, our awesome affiliate out there, KYKN. Love those folks. Kathy, what's going on?
Hello, Todd. So regarding the free college, I believe that the young man was referring to Holland or the overseas countries that are paying for...
The Netherlands.
The Netherlands, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So they pay 50%+ in taxes. So they pay them because they know that it's like a college fund. It's like their child's college fund, a little at a time through their taxes. They know they're going to get free college. So that's why they pay those percentages.
Kathy, let me interject here. So the personal income tax rate in those countries, and we'll take Austria, for example, 55%. That's what you're going to pay. 55% is the personal income tax rate in Austria. In Belgium, it is 50%, to your point.
Yeah. So they are paying for the college. It's just going into their government. So I just don't think he understands where the money's coming from. I don't think.
Well, he kept, you know, we had to work with him, and we got down to, I think he understood that, you know, it's not the government paying this. It's the American people, the taxpayers. And by the way, our tax rate is around 10-12%. So that gives you an idea of what we're talking about here. But, Kathy, yeah, my argument is why should an 18 or 19 year old kid who decided not to go to college, why should they be forced to pay for a fellow 18 or 19 year old's college education? That makes no sense.
They shouldn't. They shouldn't. Parents need to start a college fund when kids are very young and leave it alone. And the other thing, too, is that I've seen a lot of videos about girls and kids and college kids all on break, going overseas on vacations, trips, whatever. And they say, right, I'm using my college loan. Why give a 17, 18-year-old kid that kind of money?
Great question. Kathy, a lot of this goes back to upbringing and how you raise your kids. You know, parents are responsible for teaching their kids how to balance their budget, you know, how to balance their checkbook, how to manage their money. And I just don't think a lot of parents are taking the time to do that with their kids. But Kathy, you know, the other part of it is, you know, what can you afford to do? You know, can you go to a four-year school? Maybe you need to go to a community college. Instead of living at a dorm, you live at home. This is, again, it's not about 4 years of partying. It's about 4 years to get your education so you can get a decent job. And a lot of kids just don't understand that.
Yeah. I know. What can you do?
Kathy, I appreciate the call, and thank you for listening to our friends at KYKN. We love those folks. Great people out there on the left coast. But, you know, again, Kathy brings up an interesting point here, and there is a reason why it's, and I'm using air quotes here, the free education in some of these other countries, it's because you're paying out the wazoo for it as a taxpayer. Do you really think that's right? I don't think it is. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Folks, I'm very excited about the new book project, and this week and this weekend I'm going to be recording the audio version of the book, so you'll be able to get it. Hardcover edition, it is a beautiful book. I think out of all 8 books that I've written, this one is probably the most beautifully well done and well designed, and you're going to love it. It's a fun book to read. You're going to laugh, but you're also going to think, and I think by the end of the book, you are going to understand, okay, this is the path forward, and this is how we stop the communist from completely taking over our country. And when you listen earlier, and if you missed the interview at the top of the show, Congresswoman Victoria Spartz, she grew up in under communism, and now she is a member of Congress here in this country, and she is sounding the alarm. And that's really what my book is doing, Twilight's Last Gleaming. We are sounding the alarm and telling the American people, you better wake up, which is why I am so adamant that you have got to read this book. And you can pre-order a copy right now at your favorite bookstore, or just go to Amazon and order a couple of copies there. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Coming up, Liz Peek is going to be here. Also, we are expecting a little bit later on Sandy Rios. And on the TV show, Andy Biggs is going to drop by. That's going to be a great conversation. Hang tight, everybody. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Just a couple of updates for you on some news we've been following. So it looks like this was some sort of a technical snafu there in Washington, D.C. at the Metro train stop. So all good there, just a lot of smoke and noise. Meanwhile, the other situation, there has been a reported active shooter event at a military base, Air Force Base in Montana. The base is on lockdown, but that's all the information we have on that story. Meanwhile, we are also following the developments coming out of Fulton County, Georgia. And, man, what a bizarre story this is with Big Fannie Willis, Big Fannie, who is the prosecutor there, and her boy toy lover, the hearing underway. And it's really weird. Our good friend Liz Peek has written a column, Trump could ride special counsel's report all the way to the White House. But only if he avoids the potholes. Liz Peek joins us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Hey, Liz, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me, as always.
Liz, let's talk about this. I know about potholes. We've got a lot of them in Memphis. But I didn't realize there were political potholes that Trump needs to avoid.
Well, look, the wind is at his back right now, obviously. This special counsel report shining a really direct light on Joe Biden's mental issues, his age, his problems, his diminished faculties. I mean, that's just a gift to Donald Trump. And look, he needs to kind of take that and run with it. And what I mean by that is focus on the things that he knows are winning issues. Obviously, the border is number one. Trump owns that issue. He has credibility on it. He fixed it before. Voters believe, I believe he can fix it again. And he should just hammer Joe Biden relentlessly about the fact that we have, what, 5 million people in the country illegally just in 2.5 years. It's unconscionable. It's a national security risk, a fiscal problem. It's a disaster for this country. So that is, I think, a huge winning issue for Donald Trump. And the number two winning issue is the economy, because yes, inflation's gotten better, but the cost of everything, I would argue to you that the cost of things are up 25% to 30% at least under Joe Biden. And that is just a huge burden for working class average Americans. They are really struggling. We see that in the delinquencies in credit cards and other factors, kind of signs of trouble out there. Again, people remember that under Trump, we didn't have inflation. And finally, I don't really want him to talk about foreign affairs, because I think he actually had great credibility there, but he always sort of steps on a landmine. I don't want him talking about NATO. It just feeds the Democrat narrative where they all run around with their hair on fire saying, see, he's going to blow up our international relationships and alliances. The reality is much more what someone wrote about yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, which is in the Middle East, Joe Biden has undid everything Trump did. And then it turned out that was wrong, created huge problems for the United States, and went back and now is having to adopt all the policies like designating the Houthis as a terrorist organization and imposing more draconian sanctions on Iran that Trump adopted and that was so successful. So, you know, I think I really don't want him talking about Nikki Haley's wardrobe and husband or anything. Just stick to things that are winners and he can win.
So you go into great detail in your column, and folks, we have a link to it in our live show blog, but it's over on FoxNews.com. You point out that even the reliable lefties, as you call them, at the New York Times are already calling for Biden to step aside at the convention and let somebody else step up to the plate here.
Yeah. People are getting actually quite focused on the convention. And my guess is that would be the place where there's the least amount of possible bloodletting. In fact, if they do push him aside or ask Joe Biden to step aside, if he does it now, it's just going to be a free-for-all of a mad dash primary for 2 or 3 months. And don't forget, we have a vice president who would certainly expect, and her fan club, as small as it is, would expect her to be the nominee. And there'd be, I think, a lot of resentment in some communities if she weren't the nominee. But yes, I think that you have a big push from the Democrats, sort of seasoned Democrats, I would say, to get him out. But here's the thing, Todd, I don't want him out. I think he's so beatable. I think he's a terrible president, has made enormous problems for our country. And I want Republicans, and again, kind of going to what I'd like Trump to talk about, I want them to run on policies, not his age. Because you get Joe Biden out of there, someone else comes in like Gavin Newsom. I want voters to already reject those policies that Gavin Newsom will bring with him or that Gretchen Whitmer will bring with her. I mean, you know, high taxes, more regulation, open border. That's the stuff we want to get rid of.
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm curious to see who the Democrats would put in there. And I know everybody talks about Gavin Newsom, but Liz, I'm just not convinced. I think they have to go with either a female or someone from, you know, the racial or sexual identity cards. I'm not sure a straight, rich, white guy, you know, is going to rally the troops.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all. In fact, when he debated Ron DeSantis on Hannity's show, now, admittedly, Sean Hannity is right wing, and so he was perhaps favoring Ron DeSantis, but we all went into that thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to be a bloodbath. Ron DeSantis is so awkward and, you know, he doesn't have the gift of gab, and you've got this really eloquent, smooth guy. I thought Gavin Newsom came across weak, unable to deliver a solid argument on any issue, just and lied. I mean, you know, they'd put up stats on people leaving California, for example, and he would just say, well, no, those just aren't true. I mean, it was it was a really bad performance. So I agree. And by the way, he has no standing, zero standing with the black community. And I think that's a big, big problem for Democrats right now.
So someone was actually suggesting, I was out in California a few days ago, and they said it could be a Newsom-Michelle Obama ticket. But again, I mean, I'm hearing, you know, we heard David Axelrod say that, you know, Michelle doesn't like politics. I find that hard to believe because she's been out there doing a lot of politicking lately, Liz.
I agree. And look, who could really be sort of the Hail Mary candidate who could be flown in at the last moment into the campaign, into the convention, I mean, and who could emerge overnight well-funded, with an entire staff and apparatus already in place, enormous name recognition, most popular woman in America. That's literally the case. I mean, it's a slam dunk. If she'll do it, I think the Democrats would be completely crazy not to nominate her, and I think she'd win.
Oh, you do? You see, I think she's going to have trouble with black men. I don't know that they would vote for her. And Trump certainly,
oh, that's interesting.
Trump certainly seems to be making inroads there. And what was it? There was a survey that came out a few days ago, Liz, where Biden's support among black voters has dropped almost 20 points from the previous polling data.
Yeah. That's Biden, though. And I think,
right,
again, he is associated with an economy that is really not working for black people, not working for middle America. Michelle, special magic, but what would work well for her is not to have to be on the campaign trail very much, because I don't think she'd be very successful at it. I don't think she could be open and friendly and warm to big crowds of people. I don't think she would stand up to heckling and things like that. But if it's only a couple of months, Todd, I think she could do it. So I would take issue. I would disagree with you. I think black men would probably vote for Michelle Obama, or maybe not vote at all. And they're defecting from Biden like crazy, because I think they see his weakness, and it's just not good for our country. And I think people know that.
Liz, got to leave it there. And so we shall see. It's going to be a lot of intrigue. It's going to be a fun couple of months leading up to the conventions.
Yikes. I can't even imagine it. Honestly, this whole election is so crazy from start to finish. But, you know, we're lucky to be watching with sort of a ringside seat.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. All right. Liz Peek, great column as always. Folks, go check it out over at Fox News and also The Hill. Follow Liz on Twitter at Liz Peek. Liz, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Take care.
All right. I want to give you this update. This coming in from the Air Force Base, Malmstrom Air Force Base in Montana. This is weird. This is their official statement, though. Malmstrom Air Force Base was placed on lockdown today due to a suspected real-world threat located on base at Building 219. Air Force and emergency personnel are securing the area. FCON Delta has been implemented at approximately 10:36 due to the incident. The military base is directing visitors and spectators to stay away from the building. Public cooperation will help protect against possible injuries and enable base agencies more effectively to deal with the situation. So that's what we've got there. We'll be following that story as well. All right, real quick here, let's go to the phones. Steve in Jackson, Tennessee, listening to us on WTJS. Hi, Steve, what's on your mind?
Oh, I have a question for you. I want to start by saying the only news on television that I watch anymore is Channel 5 in Memphis from 6 to 7. And then at night, I watch Newsmax. And I heard your beautiful information speech that you gave yesterday about that woman in New York that was running for the Senate seat.
Yes, sir.
And you told things about her, I'm sure that they were accurate, and probably nobody has heard of that yet. So I was real proud for you to do that. Now, last night, Betta Grand Sustren came on, and she went in just a completely different direction. She went in the direction of the MAGA people are sick of Trump. They're sick of all the trouble. They didn't want to go out in bad weather. And so they just stayed at home and let the Democrats have it. Now, if you knew all of those things about that woman's past and history, why did Greta not know that same thing and say it?
Well, it's a great question, Steve. That's the one show I don't watch on Newsmax. So I yeah. This is all news to me. I'm not sure that Greta and MAGA go hand in hand. If you watch her show, but I mean, this is no secret, you know, Steve, that all that information was out there. And again, I think this is an issue that Republicans have to do a better job of picking good candidates, electable candidates.
Well, I don't watch her. I stopped watching her when she was on Fox. But
yeah,
it surprised me
here.
That somebody would be on Newsmax and then put out that kind of propaganda.
Yeah.
But I guess they've got to have them on all the programs, I guess, don't they?
I don't know. All I can Steve, all I'm responsible for is what I say on this radio show and on my Newsmax show. And we do a lot of research. We do our homework. And, you know, if we make a mistake, we make things right. But I'm telling you, I've heard reports from others, including Nikki Haley. And that's really disappointing because, it's misinformation. I mean, that's all it is. Trump is not responsible for what happened in that race.
No, no. Well, nobody could say anything to turn me against him. Well, you do a wonderful job, my friend. And I won't watch her again. But I just wanted... it bothers me that there's so many different stories from supposed to be conservatives and American loving people.
Steve,
that's
I'm with
why we are where we are, right?
It is, and I'm with you on that. And we always tell people do your own homework too. If when you hear me say something, go check it out. We're not going to ever mislead anybody intentionally, but we want people to do their homework. And look, I do that all the time. We just want to make sure we're getting the information right. Steve, I am super late for a break, but thank you for listening to WTJS. It's a great radio station, great people there. And, of course, the great Frankie Lax is the afternoon drive host there. Frankie was on my Newsmax show a while back. Got to take a break. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. So let me give you an update. This is a little weird. What's happening over at Malmstrom Air Force Base in Montana? So we told you that their public affairs said that it's FPCON Delta has been implemented due to the incident. So what does that mean? So that stands for Force Protection Condition Delta. That is the highest level of protection in the Department of Defense's system. So we have no other information. The military base putting out this information. We've got this up on our website, toddstearns.com, and you can see it for yourself. But there is some sort of a real world incident. We've heard it may possibly be a shooting, but we are working on that and we are monitoring social media and we'll keep you updated in the event we learn more. Let's go to the phone lines. Conway, Arkansas. Am I talking to Toad Suck? Is that right? Toad Suck?
Toad Suck Scott.
Toad Suck Scott. I love
it. Well, here's the thing. You asked for people to use a couple of weeks ago. And so I'm always Scott from Conway, Arkansas. But I figured let's go with Toad Suck Scott.
I like it, Toad Suck. All right. What's on your mind?
There's a story behind that. Ask your screener there. He'll tell you all about it.
All right. He's blushing, so I will definitely do that.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Here's what I've been thinking. We've got this high alert now, some kind of high alert for through the government saying that we're going to maybe attack. How come that's happening right around the time that the House is getting ready to take up the so-called border bill vote?
Well, it's a great question, Toad Suck, and I'm not sure what happened there, but he just popped off the air. I will do my best to answer that. There is a large swath of the federal government and a large swath of the military-industrial complex and a large swath of the wealthiest businessmen in America. And they all benefit when this country is at war. And that is why whenever there has been a president, whether it's Democrat or Republican, we're talking about, let's just go back to Eisenhower. That's one of the reasons why we've always been at war with someone, except for when Donald Trump was elected. And there were no wars. And that has angered a lot of very powerful, very wealthy people in this country. And there's payback for that. So I think that's one of the reasons why we are seeing these kinds of things happen. But they are determined to get us involved in a shooting war with Russia. And we just can't let that happen. We can't. Do you think that we will be able to even, I hate to ask this question, but beat the Russians with these pajama boy snowflakes and the females with the man hands? Because that's what we got right now, a bunch of social justice warriors. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, let me see if I can work through this. NBC News in Montana, and they have a little bit more information here, but there is some sort of an incident at the base. We just don't know what it is. Schools east and south of the Air Force Base have been ordered to shelter in place. This is in Cascade County. This is Great Falls, Montana, and they say that the highest level of alert has been implemented. And that happened around 10:36 a.m. their time. I believe that's Mountain Time. They're directing visitors and spectators to stay away from the building, and they're asking the public just to cooperate. So there you go. But all schools are now sheltering in place. So they're also saying do not call 911 unless you have an emergency to report. They're going to get around to telling us what it is, but right now they're dealing with whatever it is. All right. Want to bring into the conversation a good friend of this program. Her brand new book released yesterday, and it is pretty, pretty awesome. The name of the book, God's Velvet Hammer, and we have a direct link to it over on our live show blog. We're talking on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line to Sandy Rios, Director of Governmental Affairs for American Family Association. Sandy, congratulations. Hello, Sandy. All right. Well, we'll try to figure that out, guys. So we'll get Sandy back. We'll get Sandy back. We've got a little connectivity issue. But Sandy Rios, one of the great American patriots out there, man, is she crushing it. And doing a great job. If you don't download her podcast, you don't know what you're missing. It's just really, really, really good stuff. All right, I want to go and play some audio here. And all right, what are we doing here, guys? We've got Sandy. All right. So let's go right back to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Sandy Rios. All right, Sandy, sorry about that. Good to have you with us.
Todd, it's my fault. If I only had more experience in media, I would remember to unmute myself, but, you know, I'm learning.
Well, it happens to the best of us. All right, Sandy. Well, good to have you with us. Congratulations on the new book. I'm just curious here. Do you enjoy writing the book, that process more, or do you enjoy promoting the book after it's out?
Oh, jiminy. Well, I think that's a hard question, harder than you think. I'm not crazy about talking about myself, Todd. I know that sounds like false modesty, but I'm trying to learn here how to tell my stories with enthusiasm without getting kind of mumbly. So that's been an effort. But writing it was, it's amazing. This kind of book, one of the one of the catalysts that started this book was I was in Washington, D.C. at CPAC a few years ago, and I was having a meal with Cleta Mitchell. Many people may know she's like a guru on all things election. She's well-known in D.C. I don't know how well people know her right now. But we were having lunch, and she started asking me questions about my life, and she just kept asking questions. And the more she asked, and the more I told her. And then it was fun. We were laughing. I was telling her about my nine lives and the incredible things that God called me to do. And who would have thought? And that was fun. And then she tried to get a book publisher for me, and that went bust. And a few more years went by, and a few other people said, "You've got to write." But honestly, Todd, when I started telling my story to my husband, because he started asking me questions, and it's not like he doesn't ask me questions. It's just that he didn't know half of what I wrote in that book. And he said, "I never know any of this stuff." So it was fun to recount it, and it was fun, even though it was a lot of work, to get it on paper. And I was just so honored. And as I look back, I just found myself very grateful, honestly, that God should give me the responsibilities that he's given me through the years. And it's a scope that I never dreamed he would, you know, from North Korea to Radio Moscow to Berlin, Germany during the Cold War, to leading a public policy organization in Washington, D.C., and being a professional singer and being a drive-time radio host in Chicago. And that's enough, right? I mean, it's just a very long list, and nothing by my design. I could never have been so bold or full of myself to ask God for any of that, honestly.
Right now, the book, and by the way, folks, the name of the book, God's Velvet Hammer, How an Ordinary Girl Was Called to Do Extraordinary Things. By the way, Sandy, you're number one right now in religious leader biography. So how about that? That's pretty
awesome.
Are you kidding? No, I'm wild.
Wow,
Amazon.com.
It's breaking news.
I love it.
That is so cool, Todd. And you've helped. I mean, obviously, you've helped me a lot get the word out, and you have a lot of listeners. And look, I want the book, of course, to stand on its own merit, but it's like if a tree falls in a forest and no one hears it, does it really fall? So when you write a book, you need people who really believe in it to talk about it. And honestly, Todd, I'm so amazed at the response. I my socks are knocked off. General Jerry Boykin, who I love and admire so much, said it was the best book he's ever read. I can't even. He did. I just read that yesterday. So he's one of my endorsers. I mean, we're very good friends, but there are just a lot of superlatives that people have offered. I think it's a fun book. I think it's not just serious, and it's certainly not a girly book. It's just it's just a book of God's miraculous intervention in my life, and not just personally, but really in the world. Calling me to make a difference, to fight for what's right, to lay it on the line over and over and over again. And it's been a wild ride, but by God's grace, I wouldn't have it any other way. I really wouldn't. I'd take all those risks again. I would take all those hits again because I knew that God called me to do those things. So,
Sandy, when you look back and you were writing this and going back through your life, did you ever imagine? Was there a moment in your life when you realized this is what I am called to do?
Yes, there have been several. I think the first time that really hit me profoundly. I always the things that I describe in the book. Honestly, Todd, I'm not overstating. I knew that God was in those things for miraculous reasons, which I talk about. But I think when I went to Washington D.C. to lead CWA, I had just come back from North Korea. It was just 2 weeks after 9/11, so I had a lot of things on my mind about the world and the United States. And I led a big team of people, probably an office staff of 45. We had chapters in all 50 states, and I had some wonderful management. We called them managers, but they were like the experts on the issues, and they were qualified. They were degreed and all of that. And I remember being in one of our meetings where we are, arguing a point, trying to make the case for where we're going to stand on a certain issue. And it was my style to just let them argue. I wanted to hear them. I wanted to know what they thought. That's what helped me come to a conclusion. And then when the conversation was finished and they all looked at me, and I realized, it hit me, Todd, it hit me. This is my job now. It's not. I am not being bossy. I'm not taking over where I shouldn't. This is what God has called me to do, make a decision. And I did. And I just realized then this is a position God has placed me in for his purposes. So I try to be a good steward of that job and on the issues that were facing the United States at that time.
I think back to the days of Phyllis Schlafly when she was starting out, and it was just very difficult for especially women, even in the conservative world, to really for their voices to be heard. Was that your experience as well in the early days?
No. Todd, this is the strangest thing, too. You know, I guess I talk about it some in the book, but I would say that I've never been, I yawn when I hear women's issues, women's rights, women's issues, whatever. And I grew up when feminism was, going, very strong, and women were complaining, and I just tuned it out because I didn't care. I was interested in what was going on in the world. I was interested in injustice to all kinds of people, regardless of their color, regardless of their gender. And ironically, when I ended up doing a drive time show in Chicago, 3 hours for Salem, and that's a story in itself, it was apparent right away that I didn't draw women. I did draw women. I also drew men. I drew so many people in the black community. Chicago has a great, South Side and many other places, too. We had great discussions. Hispanic, I mean, every young people, old people. And I do think that's a gift. And that's not something I set out to do. It's just that it's so funny, Todd, that I was from a conservative church, did not believe in anything but male leadership. And I've got no problem with that. I know people write me letters. That's okay. SandyRios.com. But I think it is biblical. I don't have a problem. I'm not fighting that. So here's the irony. When I started on radio in Chicago and our show was very successful, the men's group at that church asked me to come and be the speaker for their weekend retreat. So, yes, I did. We laughed. I laughed so hard. I can't believe you asked me to come. But I thought that showed I wasn't breaking barriers. I felt that was an isolated incident. But I think, I just think it was funny. I think God has called me to kind of break a few barriers, and I did without meaning to.
Sandy Rios, folks, the book out yesterday, and it's already the number one new release in religious leader biographies over on Amazon. So get yourself a copy, God's Velvet Hammer, How an Ordinary Girl Was Called to Do Extraordinary Things. Now, Sandy, this does not mean that you're like completely retired and sipping a fruit drink, a cran apple with a little umbrella on it on the beach now, does it? You're not done.
Well, that actually sounds good right now, Todd. Maybe I should think about that. No, I do a podcast called Sandy Rios 24/7. I did the morning program for American Family Radio for 10 and a half years, very early mornings. And I stepped down about a year and a month ago. So this podcast is very much like my morning show. It's still a lot of work, but I enjoy it. I believe this is what God wants me to do now. Of course, I just wrote this book. I've continued to work for American Family Association as their director of governmental affairs. And I'm speaking and traveling, and, I'll be at CPAC next week, and I'm going to be leading a panel on the injustice from the Justice Department. So, there's a lot of things still going on. I don't understand it still, Todd. But you know what? As long as I can walk and move and I can think, and there's the key issue, I'm going to just keep doing what God asked me to do. So, yes, I'm still working.
All right. Well, good stuff, Sandy. We are going to have to leave it there. Congratulations again on the great book. We'll get you back on very soon.
Okay, Todd, thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. Sandy Rios, everybody. God's Velvet Hammer, How an Ordinary Girl was called to do extraordinary things, and we have the link on our live show blog, and you can also get it wherever you buy your books. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, the ABC affiliate in Montana showing video that shows ambulances standing by at the gate at Malmstrom Air Force Base. They are in nonstop local coverage there about whatever it was that happened. But again, here we go. We just have an update here. The Air Force Base has now lifted the lockdown. They say a suspicious person was reported on base as an active shooter. No confirmed shots, no casualties or injuries, no threat to the public. So there you go. That's it. Glad we were able to resolve all of that. This crazy news cycle. Oh, by the way, MSDNC, you're about to hear some audio from MSDNC. They have been monitoring the Big Fannie Willis trial, the hearing down in Atlanta. And it's looking like this is all leaning towards Big Fannie getting removed from the case. Let's take a listen. MSDNC.
It's so legalistic centric and yet so important and fascinating.
Right. Don't let the legalese fool you. This is epic. This is monumental. If things are going in the direction we think, Fannie Willis lied to the court. It's game over for her. She will be disqualified. If they had a relationship prior to when they represented to the court, it's a huge deal. I can't overstate it.
And do you?
Wow. That's MSDNC. She lied. And there are people testifying that she lied about the nature of the relationship and when the relationship started, which apparently goes back many, many, many years. So see you later, Big Fannie. So what does that mean for the case against Trump? Four people already pleaded guilty. How do you think those folks are feeling right now? They should have just stood their ground. So we'll keep you updated. I'm sure Newsmax will have live reports throughout the day on that. In the meantime, we have a story up on our website, toddstearns.com. You've got to read this. There is a woman by the name of Fran Itkoff, and she is 90 years old, and she's been a volunteer for the National Multiple Sclerosis Society for 60 years. She actually got involved because her husband, her late husband, had MS. So anyway, the other day, poor Miss Fran, she ran afoul of the alphabet activist, this 90-year-old woman. And she noticed that people were listing their preferred pronouns on their emails. And so as any right-thinking 90-year-old would ask, she said, "I'm confused. What does this mean?" And she didn't know what it meant. And so anyway, the staff took great offense at that, and she was fired. She was forced to step down from her volunteer position because she violated the National MS Society's diversity, equity, and inclusion guidelines. You cannot make this up. We have the story up at toddstearns.com. I would encourage you to go and check it out. So instead of expressing remorse, contrition, the general counsel for the National MS Society is doubling down and said they expect all volunteers to abide by their inclusion policies. Oh, they also said that people felt unsafe. I want to know who those people are. Who are the people who feel unsafe because a 90-year-old got confused that there were pronouns listed on a signature line of an email? I want to meet that person because that person belongs in a mental institution. So here we are, this poor woman, after 60 years of service, poor 90-year-old Fran got canned by some gal who found it necessary to post her preferred pronouns in her email signature line. Folks, you can't make this up. You cannot make this up. Just something to remember. I'm telling you, these woke people are evil. They're communist. That's what communism, that's what this is. Communism, I say. All right, we've got to scoot out of here. Hey, ToddStearns.com. our website. Go read the story for yourself. By the way, you can also sign up for our free podcast. You're going to get all 3 hours of the radio show and also our free newsletter. So lots of free stuff, but we also need you to buy my book. It's $25. That's not a bad deal. You can get that at Amazon. All right, folks, get out there. Have a great one. Be good, America.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.